Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to dig back into your scriptures once again, study some of the history we find here in the book of Judges. Help us to understand the importance of knowing the history and how it can apply to us today and as well as tomorrow. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series, we're in Judges chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. Now, if you remember, he had already went to this family and had married this woman. And there was that incident at the marriage where he had put that riddle toward them. And her family enticed his wife to give them the answer. So they had the answer. And then he was very upset about her betrayal and left her there at her home, went back to his home. But now it says within a while after, it doesn't say how long, but it was a short period of time there. So he gets over his anger and he goes back with a gift, basically a kid, a young goat, and goes back to receive his wife. Then her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her because of what she did, the betrayal. Therefore I gave her to thy companion, which would have been the best man that we were talking about before. So he wasn't a friend or an associate of Samson's, as you would think a companion would be, but it was another member there in the community that was there as part of the wedding festivities and so forth. Instead of just letting her be by herself, he thought that Samson had left and wasn't going to come back. So he really can't blame the father for doing what he did, but Samson definitely blames him. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So he tries to smooth things over, but Samson won't have nothing to do with that. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And then he had set the brands on fire. He let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. It sounds like just pure vengeance and mischief and mischievousness and just like a spoiled brat. You know, oh, I'm all upset, so I'm going to burn your corn. The corn didn't have nothing to do with the family that this offense. I mean, it wasn't his father-in-law's cornfield. It was a community cornfield for the Philistines. So he let his anger out in that way. But all that did was kindle some problems, as it says here in verse 6. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. I'm sure Samson didn't want that to occur, but that's how the Philistines returned the conflict or reacted to this attack on their cornfield. Turn around and burn these people, which was horrible. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. Now he's going to seek vengeance on the Philistines. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. So he just started killing folks. And it says, with a great slaughter. Doesn't give us any total or anything, but he just started wiping out Philistines. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi, and the men of Judah said, "Why are ye come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do him as he hath done to us." So they started searching for Samson, came just outside of where Judah was. This is the nation of Judah, the tribe of Judah, in their land where they had been given as part of the inheritance. So they were worried, you know, what's going on? You're going to come up after us because of something that Samson did? Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." Notice how the tribe of Judah just whimpered out of this. Instead of looking and seeing, okay, they're coming against us, and turning to the Lord and asking for the might and the guidance to go ahead and go to battle against these Philistines, which were not even supposed to be in the area because the Lord had already cleaned them out through the efforts in the past, but because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, had allowed them to reestablish themselves and even overpower and be a ruler over Judah. But instead of Judah, the tribe of Judah, standing up against them, they decided to go ahead and go get Samson and turn him in, as it says here. "And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." It's like, okay, I will go with you if you promise that you yourselves will not do me any harm. Because he did not want to fight against his own people. "And they spake unto him, saying, No," in other words, they will not harm him, "but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock." So with new ropes, newly woven hemp, most likely, a fibrous rope, bound him, which would have been plenty strong enough for any normal person. "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon him, upon his arms, became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands." They just disintegrated like they wouldn't nothing, because the power of the Lord came upon him. That's the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, coming upon him, giving him that extra strength and that might, because here came another opportunity for Samson to display the power of God through him and to fight against the Philistines, as he does. "And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith." So with this donkey's jawbone as his weapon, he slew 1,000 men. "And Samson said, With this jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathliah. And he was sore athirst." So after this big battle, killing these 1,000 people, he was thirsty. "And said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there out. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hoch Korea, which is in Lehi unto this day." So actually got out of the other part that he hadn't thrown away, the jawbone. The Lord basically opened that up and he'd be able to drink right out of it. Another miracle of the Lord there, which revived him. Now, you see this phrase here, this verse here, I should say, "And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So for 20 years he judged Israel. So 20 years after this incident, when he was most likely kind of young and adolescent and rambunctious to get in on all that trouble, but because of the trouble that he had stirred up, He was able to have this battle where he slew many of the Philistines. It says, and smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter over in verse 8. And then 1,000 that he killed with the jawbone over there in verse 15. So because of his rambunctious attitude and his behavior, it did open the door of opportunity for him to slaughter, to eliminate, to get rid of some of the problem, which was the Philistines. And then he settled in and was a judge for 20 years. Now, a little something else. I don't know, maybe it was a midlife crisis, or thinking, well, I'm getting old, I need to sow some wild oats once again, or however they say that term, and gets in trouble again because of his lust in chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in to her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron." Basically took the security doors right off of the town's gate there, the town gate, because these towns would usually put walls around it. And then they would have one very huge, very heavy, very well secured gate, big enough to bring carriages in, bring wagons in, bring livestock in, people coming and going. So you know it was pretty big. And he just rips it all right up out of the ground, throws it up on his shoulder, carries it way up on a hill, and sets it down so they can look out and see it up there. And they know that this wasn't done by nobody typical, that it had to be Samson, of course. "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Shorek, whose name was Delilah." So after this incident over there in Gaza, now he finds another woman. Of course, not of the children of Israel, not of the tribes he's supposed to be in. He's always going back and intermingling with the Philistines, even the ones that he's been in battle with and definitely not friends with. But yet, that's where he had the draw, the appeal, to go into that. "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Shorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." Quite a reward for betrayal of Samson. Now, notice that it says that Samson loved Delilah. It doesn't say that Delilah loved Samson. In verse 6, "And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." It didn't take her long to be convinced to betray him. Not much convincing at all, just the offer of that big reward to do such. "And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes with that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." So he just makes up something, because he was suspicious anyway, which is rightfully so. "Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known, so strong that it was clear that those had no power over him whatsoever. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and as another man. Notice the similarity to this. If you bind him with new ropes, but if you remember when the children of Judah came upon him, they bound him with new ropes, new cords, and had no effect. They just were disintegrated when he had the power of God come upon him. So he knew this wasn't going to bother him either, but was telling that to Delilah. Verse 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait. Liars in wait are somebody already sitting around somewhere waiting to pounce upon him when they find out that he really doesn't have the strength. Abiding in the chamber, and he break them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, it's like, what do you call those, French braids? Braid all his hair, weave it all together. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin in the beam and with the web. So had no effect. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. It's like she just kept nagging over and over and over. Well, what is it? What is it? You tell me. You really don't love me, or you would tell me. And finally he caves in, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now part of the Nazarene vow was that you never have your hair cut. He was a Nazarene from birth, so his hair had never been cut from birth. And that was a sign, a symbol to those that would see someone with that kind of hair that they had possibly been one that was under a vow of the Nazarite vow, which is a devotion to serve the Lord. But in Samson's activities and his attitude, he clearly was not serving the Lord. Here shacked up with this woman all this time and not doing the job he was supposed to be doing at this time. And now telling this Philistine woman, Delilah, the outcome here in verse 18 we see. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Like, I know I've got it this time. Y'all come up. So they were so confident that, okay, we'll bring you the money. Maybe this time that'll help and you'll actually tell us the truth and be able to conquer this guy. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not know that this time the Lord had let him go with his own strength, which would have just been as a normal person. And he was so used to having all that extra might from the power of God. And because of his disobedient activities, that the Lord had backed off from him. and basically let him suffer the consequences of his own misbehavior. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, actually pierced his eyes to where he was blinded, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Now, this grinding in the prison house, they would have a grinding wheel set up. If you've ever been to one of the mills in the area, historical area, you can see these great big stones, millstones, and they raise them up and they put grain in between two discs of millstones, and then they lower the stones down on top and they rotate them around, sometimes with a water wheel to have the power. But back then, in this situation here, they would tie a animal, a beast of burden, to a harness, to a bracket that comes over to that disc, and it rotates it around that way so that they would just turn around and around in a circle, and that's where they put him in that harness, so he would just be walking around in a circle grinding wheat or grinding whatever grain that they were putting in there. So he became a beast of burden for the Philistines. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. They wanted to pick on him and entertain people, showing this mighty strong guy who is now weak and like normal people. And this temple here of Dagon would be an open area. It's kind of like if you was to take the ceiling off of a building, and you would have the walls, and around on the walls you would have a balcony where people could sit in the upper areas, and then people could gather in the lower areas as well. And then they had their big idol Dagon, and they would have festivities where they would have their drunken wild parties and sacrifices and everything else in this temple to their pagan god. So a bunch of them came in to celebrate a particular sacrifice to Dagon. And during his festivities, they wanted to poke fun at Samson. So there was a lot of people gathered for this, of the Philistines, of the pagans. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Now these upper layers, upper areas, would be sitting on posts, pillars, that's what he's talking about. So you got the balcony up there with people sitting up on that, and you got these posts, the pillars. And they stuck him over there between two of the main ones, the way it was designed. The two larger ones would have been carrying most of the load. And it came to pass when, okay, verse 26, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. So in this upper area, which we would call a balcony, was all these people gathered around. It didn't have a complete roof that would cover the entire section. It was open in the middle. But they were gathered around so they could see the festivities down inside. So a lot of people up on this structure and underneath and in this structure. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Notice that just because his hair had grown back, he had not received his strength yet. He had to call upon the Lord and ask for forgiveness. He had to call upon the Lord and ask for this opportunity to bring honor and glory to Him once again, and also vengeance for his two eyes, as he puts in here. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on the which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. So it was close enough together, these two key pillars, that he could get a hold of both of them. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So he brought that building down by pulling in those two posts, those two pillars, and it killed everybody there, including Samson. It says there's 3,000 men and women on the roof, plus the lords of the Philistines down in the lower area. So it was more than 3,000 people that were there. We don't have a great total of all of it, but it does say in verse 30, second part here, "So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaloh, in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So all of this come about with Samson, and in the end there he was able to, as you would indicate, get forgiveness, because he was able to get his strength back, indicating that the Lord did return the strength to him and allow him to do this one more job, but it also involved him dying in the process. So gave his life to his service. We're out of time, so let's go ahead and close, and we'll get into that further next week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. It's so inspiring when we see some of the accounts of the things that have gone on in the past, and how you are influenced, how you influence people in all kinds of ways. Please take over our lives, lead, guide, and direct us, that everything we do bring honor and glory to you, that we never fall aside, that we never fall away, that we never lose our path. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.